Alrighty then. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Joining me tonight is Alan. Alan, how are you doing?
I am fantabulous.
Awesome. That sounds great. Good use of adjectives. Also joining us is Alex. I can't conjugate very well. What's up?
I'm good. I'm doing better.
Good. That's good to hear. Oh, man. So, where do you want to start, guys? Desperado?
Sure. Why not? So, yeah. I noticed that Desperado was reopening. Or reopened, or they have hours now. Whereas for the last 6 months, it said, all the rides are closed until further notice. And, you know, I went out to Vegas for the first time back in February and was like, seriously? It's been open for like 20 years and now it closes?
Great. Yeah. So, so what is Desperado? For those who don't know.
94 Aero Hyper, 225 feet?
That is correct. Yeah.
Damn, I'm good.
Yeah. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
it's like one of the sort of classic gigantic roller coasters of the 90s. And, you know, I rode it a couple years ago. My wife and I did. It was my wife's first ride on it in forever and mine in forever. And we ended up like in the middle seat of like one of the back cars. And we actually had a really good ride on it. Like, I was surprised. It's definitely not as exciting, I think, as Magnum. Just because, you know, like, stuff like the airtime hills are all kind of elevated, like, 50 feet off the ground. It's like the classic aero thing to do. They're like, let's have an element, but we're just going to put it 50 feet off the ground first. Like, we'll have a 60-foot loop, but we'll have a ramp that leads to it that's 100 feet long. Like, it's such the aero thing to do.
It costs too much money to actually make a larger element, so.
Yeah, they're like, who wants to do that? Let's just build a huge ramp leading up to the 60-foot clothoid loop. But no, it's a fun ride, and
what's more interesting than Big One?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a better ride than Big One, at least in terms of what it does force-wise. But I'll say that Big One, you know, having been on it a bunch, it's a fun ride. It's the best possible 200-foot mine train. we're talking about the airtime hills that are all elevated. Like, it has this triangular second hill that's like if you took one of the Magnum airtime hills and made it 175 feet tall, like with the same lead up angles and everything, and it makes no sense and it doesn't really do anything. But the fact that somebody thought that that was a good idea and then actually implemented it and constructed it and fabricated the steel and then put the steel together and then that it's been that way for like 20 plus years is marvelous. And it's not good, but it's good, is my opinion on the big
one. Yeah, and this hill is taller than the SLC right next to it, which is hilarious.
Yeah, but it's just it's a ramp on one side and a ramp on the other. And it's like it's a triangle. It's like an isosceles triangle that is in the middle of the ride and gigantic. And God bless Aero.
It's good to see that thing's, I guess, hopefully reopening. I didn't know which way it would go. I figured either it'd reopen within the next, let's say, 9 months, or it was done for.
Yeah, it was kind of touch and go there for a little bit, but I'm glad that they, you know, maybe bought new parts for the first time in a while.
Yeah, it looks like they might have gotten rid of their wristband, so maybe they're trying to, like, you know, push, you know, just that might be more attractive to people who are there and might make more money doing that anyway, so who knows. So I walked around that casino. It looked kind of 90s, but okay.
It's a fascinating casino, at least I think.
Like, yeah, it's nicely themed, you know, like most of the casinos, you know. But I was like, I'd like to ride this thing. So, oh well. Hopefully I'll get out there again before it shuts down again and ride it. So, but then we were talking about the Titan. Over in Japan, it's going to get a second lease on life from the Space World that closed the first of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was bummed because I never got to Space World. It was such an interesting theme park. Hold on, pause it for a second. So where were we? Space World, something, something.
Yeah, something like that. Basically, you had to restart your computer.
For a second, just as my computer just decided to phase into another realm of existence. So Space World, by Nip and Steal, in 86 or 87, something like that, as a reaction to the recession in Japan that was going on. Mm-hmm. And I heard good things about it, and then there's actually a post on Japanese coaster Twitter, which exists, and they basically, somebody had posted pictures of Saturn and Titan inside of Park España, which would basically give Park España the best possible set of coasters in Japan, like, imaginable, because they already have Pyrenees, which everybody says is, like, one of the best B&M inverted coasters. And the really weird bullfighting ride, which I know they updated, but is still the really weird bullfighting coaster. And I would be totally stoked about Space World. Like, if it got those two coasters, like, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, cool. Just hope for Venus going somewhere.
Yeah, Venus looks really cool. And it's kind of like Helix City, but it's still interesting.
With or, like, without the giant space shuttle.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like I need the giant space shuttle. Like, that's part of the package.
But,
Yeah, so speaking of new stuff, Alex, you got out to Sesame Place.
Yeah, I did.
My old stomping grounds.
Your old stomping grounds, eh? there was a really cheap ticket through Ace. On Memorial Day, it was like $15. So parking costs more money than the ticket. me and my buddy Jeff went and checked out the new Oscar's Wacky Taxi by the Gravity Group, which is oh dear God, I forgot the stats already. It's like 40 feet tall, 1,200 feet long or so, and beautiful trains themed to taxi cars, and Oscar's on the front with his little worm. I'm sure he has a name, but I have no idea what his name is. Maybe it's just Worm.
I think it may be Wormy. I'm not sure. I'll look it
up.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to know.
Give me a second.
It's a fun ride. It's if you've been on Roarosaurus or Wooden Warrior, it's similar in statute, and great airtime on every single hill. Just because it's at a kiddie park, they didn't hold back with airtime, especially one hill. It's like very strong airtime. I was expecting everything to be airtime on every hill, but like maybe toned down a little bit for the young crowd that Sesame Place gets. But I guess that's the only way Gravity Group does it, right?
Yeah.
They only have one speed, and that's it. Isn't the height requirement like 42 inches, I want to say?
40.
40.
I think 40.
Jesus.
I should know this, having gone to the factory and seen the trains, but, you know, obviously
I looked that up too afterwards because I was like, what is this?
That's absolutely crazy. By the way, Oscar's worm's name is Slimy.
Slimy. Perfect. So, let's look up this height restriction.
Yeah, it went in the old VIP parking for Sesame Place, which I thought was kind of funny in a way.
Well, it must be really old VIP parking because I had VIP parking last year and it was a different location. So
yeah, I think. Well, I worked there several years ago. So
yeah, so
they were probably doing land prep for that.
Minimum of 40 inches under 46 must be accompanied with a adult.
There you go.
Wow. You know what? I think that's actually, a good ride for that park.
Oh yeah,
it's an interesting attraction.
Definitely good.
It's a big enough ride, and plus, like,
I think some of the choices of rides that SeaWorld has had has been questionable for a while. Like, for instance, the addiction to Premier Sky Coaster, or not Sky Coasters, but Sky Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that they take up not that much room and they're tall, so they're aesthetically, you know, appealing on that level, but
it's got a tunnel.
Yeah, it has a tunnel.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So runs two trains, six cars per, so 12 altogether. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think this is the right kind of move. That this is the kind of thing that they need to buy more of and less of, like weird, like, you know, non high capacity attractions for parks that need high capacity. If that makes sense.
I would love this down in Orlando.
Yeah, this seems like it would fit really well in that Sesame Place area that they want to build over.
God, would it ever? Yes, and it has the weirdest thing. I don't know if this is just because it was just opened or not, but it has a queueless queue line or a queue railless queue line. Like, it just has like walkways that you walk through, but there's no queue lines. So the kids were all, of course, trampling through the grass.
So they went to the Animal Kingdom model where they just have grass and stuff and plants instead of metal bars.
Yeah, they just have like curbs basically, like that you'd see on the side of the street basically for the walkways.
That's interesting.
The only thing that I feel like they should probably adjust or address is like you go through the center of the ride and it's loud, and for kids that young, and especially some that are maybe on the spectrum and all that stuff, like it's really loud. Like most of the kids were holding their ears. Like I feel like they should probably like enclose that in at least like plexiglass or something to minimize the sound, because like it's cool to be in there, but like yeah, the train's like mm-hmm. coming within inches of you, and it's loud. So as wood coasters are, but that's like my only complaint about it. By the way, I was reading Vapor Trails height requirements. Apparently you just have to be 3 years old. There's no height requirement if you're accompanied by a adult.
Isn't it like a Vekoma roller skater would like I heard there's actually really good positive G's on that ride.
It is. It's a fun ride. I've ridden it many times. And yeah, it's fun. It's got three helixes. I think it's like 56 feet tall. And they upgraded the because actually on their website they have the old lap bars. They upgraded from that single lap bar to individual ratcheting lap bars. That I think I saw on like the Dragon at Legoland in California. So I assume that lowered the height requirement very, very much. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
no, Sesame Place is such a great park. And the girlfriend wasn't able to go because she was working, so I get to go back.
Yay!
I'm not ashamed to say I'm excited about that, because it's a good coaster. And I do want to check out the water park, because I haven't been able to do that for years, since I was like in the age of it, actually me going there and being the right demographic. But it has a lot of old-school water slides that are like, some are like scary. Because they were like, we don't know what we're doing yet. Yeah, this works, kind of.
Sort of like what they were, almost like River Country, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, really quick like turns, and, like, you feel like you're going to flip over. Yeah.
As long as the water stays in the slide, everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. So, but we'll probably do that in, whenever the season passes for next year go on sale. In August or something like that, we'll go back. It should be a fun time. No, it's a great coaster. I definitely, it's more than a credit, in my opinion. So
awesome.
More than a credit.
I'm excited to get out there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Then we went over to Great Adventure. I haven't talked about Great Adventure at all. I've had many visits of varying success. So one that included 13 rides on Kingda Ka that hurt my neck for about 3 weeks.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, don't ride Kingda Ka 13 times in a row without getting off. It's quite intense to do that. So I don't know if that's what caused it, but it was right around the time that I started having neck pain, so I'm like, maybe that was it.
How's the new flat ride?
I went over there on Memorial Day weekend after Sesame Place, and it was busy. So we just walked around and ate and had lots of crap happen to us that was annoying, but we didn't really care. Looked at the new ride. It's finally opening next week. Yeah, that's new. Cyberspin's opening next Wednesday, officially. Season pass previews start in 2 days. So,
are you going to be going for the season pass preview?
I can't go on Friday because it's the membership bullshit. I just have a season pass. So I'm not going to upgrade to that per month crap when I can pay like $70 a year.
Understandable.
I can go on Saturday or Sunday if I have time. I might go Sunday for a few hours. I don't want to stay away from the dog too much because, you know, stuff happened. Yeah. She almost died. So
everyone's having dog problems. So
that happened the day after we were at Knoebels. She was like, I thought she was just really overheated, and then the next morning she wasn't back to normal. So I took her to the doctor and found out. Well, after two doctors, the first doctor, my local vet, was like, "We don't know what she's going on with her, but she could die. And we're about to leave because it's Memorial Day weekend. See ya."
Peace.
So then I had to take her to an emergency, like, 24-hour vet. And they, like, immediately, like, were like, yeah, her bladder is about to explode because she has a bunch of kidney stones and it's blocking her passage. So, yeah, that was fun. But she's recovering very nicely. She's almost back to her normal self. So
good. She's a sweet dog.
I know. Isn't she the best? And she got to ride all the rides at Knoebels that allow her to ride, except for the Spanish Bandino.
Yes.
Shall we talk about Knoebels?
So, yeah, we should probably talk about Knoebels. Joe did not go to Knoebels with us.
No, I did not go to Knoebels.
Sorry,
because Joe has yet to go to Knoebels, in fact.
Which I'm planning on changing this year. So
you should. It's time. Though I'm concerned. I feel that you need to go with a guide. Because I'm not sure. It's important that you know what you're getting into. And like what you're getting into, that you do everything. Is basically the deal. Like all the rides you have to go on. All of them. Even the ones where you're like not sure, you should go on those rides too.
Yeah, otherwise they'll burn down, right?
It's like the thing about Knoebels is Knoebels has, with the exception of the whip, the best of every kind of ride that exists.
Okay.
You're like, well, what are the best bumper cars? Oh yeah, the Knoebels bumper cars are the best bumper cars. What about the best flyers? Yeah, probably the flyers at Knoebels.
The best old school wood coaster.
Yeah, best old school wood coaster, Knoebels. Best carousel, probably Knoebels.
Yeah.
Best train,
Knoebels.
Possibly Knoebels. Yeah, definitely the best sky ride. Ferris wheel, probably. Like, insert ride after ride after ride, like antique cars.
The best ride that
Knoebels.
The best ride that someone's married.
Yeah, easily with the 1001 knots.
Yeah,
Knoebels.
Yeah.
Wins again.
Apparently, there's been a breaking out. There's been drama with that relationship, though, right? You were telling me.
Yeah, I read that that she has moved on from 1001 Knots and has chosen something else.
How could she?
That was my understanding. I know it's such an adorable ride.
Maybe reliability issues.
It was down for that like a year.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe
every time
you know,
I see it running, I'm like, I have to ride it because like it. It usually doesn't make it to Funfest.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it's an interesting attraction. The only thing is I hate the lap bars on it. It has bad restraints.
Yeah, it's like a steel bar with no padding. It's a fun like aerial tram ride basically, or aerial like up and down ride.
Yeah.
More exciting than a Ferris wheel, basically.
But yeah, like everything else, like does it have the best like O-plane attraction? Yeah. Does it have the best, like it has the only one of only two or three loopers left in the world from Herschel?
Yeah.
The only flying turns,
the best amusement park campground.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean it's like one thing after another, and the food, of course.
Oh god, yes,
is a critical aspect of Knoebels. It's important that when one goes to Knoebels to eat food, that they do not eat the eggplant parmesan at the Alamo. That's one thing you should not do. In fact, you really shouldn't even bother with the Alamo at all, but just eat food everywhere else.
I don't think I've ever eaten at the Alamo.
I've eaten there twice, and both times I was gravely disappointed with my decision.
Okay. The only thing I do, I'm sure there are better burgers, but like the burger near the Oasis is not good.
I like the burgers that are back by Phoenix, though.
Okay, those are probably better, but yeah, because from the Junction, basically, or the International?
Yeah, from the Junction. From Junction. And yeah, then they still have the prime rib sandwich, right? I don't even know if I had it this trip.
No. I went on Thursday, 2 days before you did, with the girlfriend, and we did a lot of eating. So I was like, I felt full from 2 days prior. Like, I was looking at all this food, I'm like, I can't. Oh my god, I can't. And I was just like, it was too soon almost.
but we did not, so we just kept eating. Like,
yeah.
So we were also there. My friend Kyle and his wife Jenna, who are longtime people, at least in the New England like coaster scene. Like, you know, Kyle and I worked at Lake Compounds together in like 2001, and he posted on Wrecked Out Roller Coaster when he was a wee tot of like 13 or 14. Back in the 90s, you know, we all hung out and we did pretty much all like the big highlight rides, I think is fair to say.
On Saturday I had the dog, so we did everything that the dog could do, which is two trains, the antique cars, the carousel.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which
is
very cool.
Which is great. Yeah, that was wonderful. And the carousel, I mean, like, the thing about Knoebels to try and describe to somebody who's never been as to why Knoebels is interesting, or someone that's primarily like a theme park, like Disney Universal person, is like, Knoebels is the ideal version of an American traditional park. Like, Dick Knoebel decided he wanted the best possible traditional amusement park, so he built it. And he didn't have the rides, he got them.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until like 10 years ago that they bought anything new.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, but regardless, yeah. Prior to that, it was all came from somewhere else.
And it's all like the best versions of that. Like the Grand Carousel is what, a four breast?
Yep. I think so.
It's a huge, huge machine with rings, because of course. It's run properly, which means it's run at like a fairly high speed. The flyers we had an interesting time on. He ended up shutting it off on us after what, like probably 2.5 minutes, and then complained that we had lost control, which, you know, not entirely true. I think we knew what we were doing.
Was that our first ride or your second ride that I didn't partake in?
I think that may have been the first ride that you'd take in.
It felt like a really long ride anyway, so I was like, okay, it's just over. I didn't realize they'd stopped it because we were going a little too crazy.
We put in good work. Yeah, I was happy with us. So when we went back the next day, Kyle and Jenna and my wife and I, like Kyle and I went back on the flyers at the end of the night on Sunday, and Kyle was killing it. Kyle was getting snaps left and right, and I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, like, that sounds like my Thursday. I did two rides in a row, and I didn't do a single snap. I was so I left with tail between my legs. I just was like, what is wrong with me? This is yeah.
But then I felt bad.
So for all new people, do you want to explain snapping?
Yeah, you move so you get so high when you're controlling your sail that you dive so quickly that you get ahead of the ride circling in the middle of you. So the cables develop a lot of slack, mm-hmm. and then once the ride catches up, those cables lose the slack and snap together because there are two of them.
There you go.
That about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And you know, if you go on YouTube and you look up snapping the flyers.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You'll see various examples of people snapping the flyers. And you can actually get snaps at the top, too.
Oh, yeah. Those are scary. Those are fun.
Yeah, those are mildly terrifying if you get to that level. But basically, when you get down to the bottom with the really big snaps, what ends up happening is the nose of the flying scooter picks up, and it never gets to a totally vertical area, but it gets high, and you know that it's in a direction that it's not necessarily supposed to be like designed to do, and that's when you know you're doing it correctly. Is when that happens, and then usually you get yelled at, and you know, depending on the park, they'll either stop it or kick you off, or a combination of both. Knoebels will usually let it run for a while, and I think Carowind still lets it run no matter what, right?
Carowinds doesn't exist right now.
Carowinds doesn't exist. Oh, they took it out?
Yeah, I believe it will be reinstalled, but they just I guess they didn't have the time to do it this year, so.
Oh.
So I'm pretty much sure they said that it is returning, but it will probably be next year, because they took all the adult rides out of the Planet Snoopy now, now Camp Snoopy. So
that sucks. Well, I guess the thing is, like, there are a lot of flyer rides out there now, especially now that they've kind of come back and there's been new versions of the flying scooters installed.
Yeah, ever since, like, what, the mid-2000s or so.
Yeah, like, Indiana Beach was one of the first places that got them.
I think the first one was California's Great America, if I remember correctly.
But there's a lot of bad flyer rides. I feel like the old flyer rides are actually worse than some of the newer ones. Like, Canopy Lakes is terrible.
Yeah. Holiday World isn't so great.
Which one?
Holiday World.
Oh, yeah, those are terrible. That one's Holiday World might be the worst.
No, I think the worst are really Compounds.
Yeah, Compounds is really bad too. Kyle and I, this is a quick story.
Oh yes, I know the last, story very well.
The last fall that Kyle and I lived at, or that we both were living in Connecticut, obviously I moved, we got season passes to like Compounds, and we never used them the whole summer. Just because we didn't care for whatever reason. And then we only went during Ock Boulder Fest, every day of Ock Boulder Fest, to do nothing but ride the flyers until we could get them. And so we ended up going in like 20 times only between mid-September and October, and it was like the last weekend. Each of us got one snap on the flyers. And like we were like, okay, that's it, we're done. And we left immediately after that. We probably rode the flyers a good 300 or 400 times over that, or at least maybe more than that over the course of all those evenings combined. But we each got one snap and we were good. But it took literally weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah, I would say actually Holiday Worlds are probably, I think, the worst. Canopies are right there with it, with Lake Compounds. All the newer ones are really good. The one that's always been interesting to me is Waldemere, because Waldemere altered theirs to have that like shock absorber, like where the cables connect with the car. So you could fly it however you want to, but it doesn't really snap.
Huh. Now, last time I was at Lakeside, which was granted like 15 years ago, they only had half the cars on the ride.
Oh, they were missing a bunch of the flying scooter cars?
Yeah, and they had no brakes, so the guy had to grab the vehicle to slow it down.
Oh, my God. That's so Lakeside. I love it.
And I have a feeling that could still be the case. That ride still exists there. Sure.
Yeah. Actually, Stricker's Grove has them, too, and they're not very good, from what I recall riding last year.
Okay.
Like, I think it might be like a...
Wasn't there one that no one... I don't even know who made them, but like they were... Oh, no, I think... Oh God! Why can't I think of the name right now? Anyways, the one that was at Cypress Gardens before Legoland. I heard those were like terrible.
I never rode those either. I
have no idea who they were made by, but they weren't. They weren't Larson or
Weren't Larson or Rocco Bish. They were somebody else.
Yeah, it was a modern version of them, and apparently they were absolutely terrible. So we were talking about stuff.
Yeah, we talk about. We were just talking about flyers. Honestly.
Okay, we're talking more about flyers. How there were some really crappy ones that maybe may have or may not have been built by Martin Vlemlix at Legoland when it was
Cypress Gardens.
Yeah, so
during like the 15th version of Cypress Gardens when it was owned by the Wild Adventures people.
Yeah, I'm glad how that turned out though. That really worked out well in my opinion. I mean, I never went before, so I don't know what it was like before, but I really enjoyed myself last year there.
I like Legoland a lot.
They're fun. I mean, I know that you could do
especially the Florida one.
I know that if you do one, you kind of done them all because they're very similar. But
yeah, but the Florida one has the gardens, and that's a huge.
Oh yeah, I spent like an hour in there at least. So I felt like I had to, like, and I wanted to.
we should talk about Knoebels though again. Let's go back to Knoebels.
We were there.
Yeah, we were at Knoebels for Memorial Day weekend. I mean, it's, you know, like we said, everything there at Knoebels is good.
Phoenix is running wonderfully. They did. They retract the double up, double down, and the last turnarounds. So those are running fantastic. That double up, double down was getting a little painful. So
the ending run on Phoenix is so good.
Yeah, and so we rode on Thursday, and we were like, "What is going on with this ride?" Because we were riding on, granted, we were riding on like half filled trains, which is not very common for the Phoenix. Usually, you get full trains, but then like the park closed, I think at 6. But it was really cool because there was a lot of school groups there, but their wristbands only went till 3. Yeah. So we had 3 hours to do what we wanted. So we did a lot of flat rides in the first, you know, few hours. And then as soon as that wristband ended for them, then we did all the coasters so we could marathon a little bit. We did like two rides earlier in the day, and then we came back and like it was Phoenix again. Like those first two rides were a fluke. It was almost like our first ride on Steel Vengeance. It was like the just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's running superb. I think every time I've been on Twister, literally since opening day, I've said, like, I like Twister more this time than I've ever liked it before. And that was exactly the same case, like, this time around. I think Twister's a ride where it's super good, and if it was at any other park other than Knoebels, it would get a lot more attention, but it's at Knoebels. And Phoenix is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And under those conditions, like, nobody, if you have a choice of Phoenix or Twister, like, you're always going to pick Phoenix. Like, it's just, you're always going to do that. We rode Flying Turns. Did we ride it with you, or did we ride it? I must have ridden it the next day, probably.
No, I rode it on Thursday. Because you guys kind of kept to, like, oh, I have a dog, so we're going to kind of be cool, but you didn't have to be.
No, we were happy. Like it was cool. There was a dog, like the dog was so
yeah. The dog so gets like, stopped every like 50 feet to be petted.
Oh, the dog was an attraction. Like honestly, yeah. like it should have been in the maps, like through the park today between the hours of 11 and 9 o'clock is going to be Chelly Bean throughout the park.
It was like
everybody was coming up to the dog and be like, "Can I pet the dog?" And then like when we would watch the dog and then you'd go ride something, then it was like they would come up to us and be like, "Hi,
yeah,
can I pet the dog?" Like, yeah, yeah, pet the dog. Like,
and
yeah.
I had a surprising amount of people who didn't like ask this trip for some reason, and it wasn't just kids; it was adults too. I was like, I didn't really care because she's like, she's a good dog. She's not going to bite anybody, but
right.
You should ask first, because what if she is? I mean, she's cute as can be, but it doesn't mean that she has a good temperament. Like, you can have the cutest dog ever, but if you treat it like shit, it's going to bite you.
Right,
bite exactly. Everything. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah. Yes, the bumper car.
By the way, you should come with me around during Fun Fest when I put her in a costume. It's every, like 5 feet.
Yes.
I mean, everything is good at Knoebels still, and I hope it never changes. And I'll know when they put on seatbelts and individual ratcheting lap bars on the Phoenix. That's when I know that there's no hope and it's time to commit suicide, is basically my take on life.
Oh, okay. That's dark.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yes, sure.
Because I want to be controversial.
Okay.
Okay, let me just start by, I don't want anything RMC'd, but would you want a ground-up RMC there?
Nah.
No? Okay.
I don't need it. It's one of those things where it would be fine if they did it.
Me neither. I'm just trying to be controversial.
I would, you know what, I mean, everybody says Tumblebug for that park. And people have been asking Dick Canole for a Tumblebug forever, but then he goes, it's a huge footprint, so I don't want it. I'm trying to think, like, what are the rides? I mean, other than, you know, the things that he's not going to build.
I feel like there's a reason why there are not a lot of Tumblebugs, because I don't think they're that great. They're fun, but, like...
They're fun, yeah. The one at Conneaut's the only one that I think is run, like, really, really well.
Okay.
In my experience of recent years, the Kennywood one is fine too. Turtle's good.
Yeah,
and then
fun.
Can you name another one? So,
I think those are the last two because Blackpool got rid of theirs. So
yeah, Blackpool got rid of theirs. Whalum's went to Edaville and they scrapped it like a decade ago. So I don't know where there's even another Tumblebug except those two.
The only thing I can think of is if things don't work out at Lakemont, like...
Leap the dips.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would be interested to see what would happen, though, if you tried to move Leap the Dips there. Because would it become a new coaster, and then you end up with all sorts of weird regulations?
Oh, yeah, definitely is going to happen. I mean, so, like, think about Isle Wild right now, with all the restrictions they have on roller coaster.
Exactly.
They actually have weight... You have to actually be weighted. It's a limit of, because the trains are so freaking heavy compared to the new ones, they're probably twice as heavy. The weight limit per row is 265, and there is a scale just like the flying turns.
So why did they get new trains again?
Kid fell out because there was. Nothing but a, which I couldn't believe that they had never even bothered to install a seatbelt.
Jeez.
Yeah. All there was a fixed lap bar.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
But the kid was like with his older, the kid was like three or four, and he was with his older brother of like not even 10. So, yeah. Things happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's basically where you just go, yeah, yeah. Things
somehow
happen.
The kid didn't die, but I heard it was not very good though for him because he fell off a roller coaster.
Yeah, usually if you fall off of a moving ride into something like roller coaster has, which is like cliffs and trees, it's probably not for the best physically or psychologically or anything. Yeah, those new trains, we were discussing them.
Oh boy.
At various points with the panty liner wing barriers that they've put up.
Yeah. I call them Osborne the Rabbit wings, but okay. Ears.
That tells you exactly where everyone's mind goes, so.
It's, you know what, I wish that they had gone a different direction in terms of those new trains, but it is what it is.
It was kind of had, I think that it's what had to be done to get the ride reopened.
Because yeah, but I mean,
I'm pretty sure the state said this is a new ride. You're gonna have to fix everything. Everything that happened in the last 70 years. Yeah, we don't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of, you know, maybe somebody could have made trains that weren't quite as heavy, for example.
Oh, sure, I'm sure they could have, but it probably was the most economical. Solution.
Yeah, most cost-efficient solution to getting it reopened. Well,
yeah,
it is what it is. So now that we've gone to a park that's had to mutilate one of their rides, back briefly to Knoebels.
It always goes back to Knoebels.
It always goes back to it's the one constant in our existence. Trying to think of things, you know, as far as food, we ate everything. On Sunday. We ended up getting a pizza from whatchamacallit?
Cesar's?
from Cesari's. I've always had the pizza during Fall Fun Fest, and it's always highly unappealing. And we ended up sharing a pizza. Like, we got, like, half cheese, half pepperoni, and it was really good. Like, I think you just have to ask for them to make the pizza rather than get, like, slices, and you're going to be way better off. Like, that's my attitude on Cesari's now.
We had a slice on Thursday, and we enjoyed it, too. I think they're rushing it out so quickly because of how many, you know, free tickets they have to redeem.
But that's what ends up causing the lower quality.
Maybe a little
bit. That makes sense. What did we eat when we were there on Thursday?
I don't know. I tweeted everything.
You tweeted
everything? We did six food stops, and it was technically more, but we like grouped a few of them.
I remember there was we got the pierogies, and
oh yeah, we started with the pierogies.
Tri-taters.
Yeah. Oh yes, the new thing this year is loaded tri-taters, which could you make them any better? I mean, they're a little expensive though. It's kind of getting up there though. But other than
picture.
That,
picture for yourself, Joe, if somebody took like a McDonald's hash brown in its best possible format and then covered it in cheese and bacon.
Okay.
And sour cream.
And sour cream. And that is the loaded tri-tater.
That's sort of nuts.
Yeah, this is the wonderment. It's in the same booth that sells pierogies. And then around back, they have cheesesteaks.
Jesus Christ.
And draft birch beer.
Which I'm sorry, those cheesesteaks, I mean, it's whiz. I mean...
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'll try it sometime, but I'm very adamant about no whiz. I know some people here in Philly love their whiz, but I think they're all crazy people. Anyway.
Kyle has these very specific opinions about things.
Okay.
And the cheesesteak is one of them, where if he's at Knoebels, he's like, okay, it's steak plus cheese with none of the other ingredients. Like, that's exactly what he wants. That's his thing. I'm a more holistic eater. But as was probably the case like when I got the ribicue and the barbecue pulled pork sandwich at the same time. That was probably over the top, but it was good nonetheless. We basically just eat your way through Knoebels because that's how you properly do Knoebels.
Yeah, you either are riding something or you have something in your hand that you can eat.
And the signage, it should be noted for anyone who's never been to Knoebels. I am sad because they got rid of the A2 Cosmo, try the Caesar salad, but you know, it's okay. It's all right that sign has disappeared. There's like the zombie fries sign instead, and they still have Cosmo in front of the log flume, so that's good too. God, it's like everything about that park is great. The bumper cars are great. The arcade's great. The fascination's great.
Now with air conditioning.
Yeah, now with air conditioning. Though they still have those cooling machines, whatever you want to call them.
Well, they can sitting have double around. Air conditioning.
The extra cold while you play. If only had the ashtrays back. That's the one thing it lacks. Is the old school ashtrays for your electromechanical bingo gaming needs. God. So then on Sunday, you know, obviously there was a pretty poor forecast for Sunday, and we ended up seeing sprinkles for roughly 35 seconds. And the park was dead. I mean, it was dead. We ended up, I bought $80 in tickets at Weiss Market before we went in. And I ended up buying like $40 more in tickets because, like,
so we just kept, you like, should have probably bought a wristband.
But there were no wristbands on Sunday, as far as I recall.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. So it was a ticket only situation, which was fine because, like, we were just, like, we got, like, five rides in the last half hour, 45 minutes on Phoenix, and it was running one train. I mean, that shows how dead it was. That park was fantastically dead, and it was great. We got on Flying Turns, and I waited 5 minutes in three trains.
Nice.
So that was excellent. I rode Impulse. I was the only one in the group that actually decided to ride it. everybody else was like, yeah, go have fun riding Impulse, which I don't get why everybody doesn't like Impulse, because it's fun.
I like Impulse. Why would you hate Impulse?
You know what? I think it's because it's there.
Some people. Anyway.
I mean, Impulse, so for those that don't know, Impulse is, it's Zaire, right?
Zaire, yes.
Zaire, multi-inversion coaster with a vertical lift hill and a beyond vertical drop. And, you know, it's a very modern new ride. And that makes it unlike all the other stuff that's at Knoebels, which is not modern and not new and has, like, no restraints. And I can see how it's so different from those. I just think it's fun.
It's a fun really ride. Fun. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't get it. The only things I regret, I did not get on the boats this week or that weekend.
Oh, we did the boats.
We did the boats on Thursday?
Yeah, we did the boats. She got us stuck.
Well, that's like every time you go on the boats. Like, that's almost like the goal is to try and figure out how to wedge the boat.
We got stuck because the boat behind us kept ramming us. Kept on bumping us. Get it? Because of the bumps this year. Anyways.
Boo.
Apparently the guy was like, oh yeah, don't worry about it, you're in the slowest boat. Yeah, those things are fun. They go underneath Cosmos Curves and the train too, I believe, right?
Yeah, Old Smoky.
Yeah, so and if you're going really slow, you can just grab the I-beam of the stuff that you're passing under and give yourself a little boost.
Like, I don't know what else to say about Knoebels other than, like,
well, sometimes I would like you to tell me about something.
Sure, go ahead.
Tell me about Over the Top.
Oh, yeah, because I actually got to ride it.
Yeah, thanks.
What's Over the Top?
So Over the Top is a new attraction that has opened about a year and change late at Knoebels from the folks at SBF Visa. It kind of has a pseudo surf theme, because I think that's actually its real theme. It's supposed to be surfing. But then they kind of themed it to Knoebels' old, what they called cage rides. And there's still one of these flying cages in existence in Minnesota.
Paul Bunyan Land.
Paul Bunyan Land does not know what it has. I guarantee you they have no awareness whatsoever that they have the last guy about in the world.
Like, how do you guys still have this? I'm like, we just do it this way.
Amazing.
So first of all, explain the flying cages. The flying cages where these attractions existed probably, I don't even know when they would have started. They may have predated, like, you know, the Great Depression, where you sit in a steel cage, which is a box, and you basically push and make movements that cause this steel cage on a sort of swing mechanism to rock back and forth. And if you swing it hard enough, you'll get it to go all the way over the top. You know, kind of like how the dream is of, like, if you're on a swing set trying to get this thing to go over the top, that's what you do with these things. And it's very exciting from what I'm told. Over the Top is kind of themed to that. It holds 16 people, like 8 across on each side, maybe, or maybe it's 6 each. It's kind of looks like a kid's ride. Though I don't know how to necessarily term it that. It's got stand up seating, like a bicycle seat. And then the sort of cage is around you. There's a door that goes around the leg area, which I guess was the point of issue. From the original one that opened up at the island in Pigeon Forge and lasted, 3 weeks?
Yeah, they had an incident.
They had an incident where the door popped open and some girl ended up on the midway. She lived.
Lovely.
According to the reports, she was conscious the whole time.
And so now it's being replaced by FVF Vista spinning coaster.
Yes, which is the best possible result.
Yeah.
Tragedy. Yes. Somebody was probably crippled and screamed, but at least we now get a credit.
And so, sidebar really quickly, your next SBF Vista spinning coaster opening in Lexington, Kentucky. Sidebar end.
Oh no. What? Oh wow, that's like 6 hours and change from my house. I can do that in a weekend. God, it's indoors, right? Is it indoors?
Yeah. It's in a former Target or Walmart or something.
Yes. I know what I'm doing this winter.
Nah.
Back to Lexington.
I was more thinking about doing it on the way back from Holiday World and pairing it up with Camden Park. But anyways, you can do that.
it's a straight shot for me. I just got to get to 65. So just get to Indy, take 65 south. I'll be there in six hours, 15 minutes. I'm getting on one in a week and change in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Maurice just opened 2 days ago or 4 days ago.
So. They just keep opening left and right. That thing is going to be the most popular coaster design of all time. There's no question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, back to the
Over the Top.
Yeah, so Over the Top. So I wrote it. There was not much of a wait for it. I want to say it was like a 160 in tickets or something like that. So it should also be noted that Knoebels has really low pricing. Preposterously low pricing for rides. The most expensive rides are the Phoenix and Twister and I think Skyride are all $3.
Yeah. Compared to that, to the Cyclone at $10.
Yeah, or any Carnival when you end up paying $7 a ride.
Yeah, when do we pay less than that for a freaking Wacky Worm at a Carnival? Never.
Never. And you're riding the Phoenix or the Twister. You're riding
exactly.
Pinnacle attractions.
Life choices.
I make the forest. I really do. So anyways, on Over the Top, I'd say the actual swing at the very top of it, probably no more than 20 feet, maybe even slightly less than that. The sensation going forwards is kind of like if you picture stepping off of a platform. It does swing you back, so it's not like you're just landing on your feet from a 17-foot drop. But that's the best way I can put what going on Over the Top is like. It's just kind of like stepping forward off of a high thing and just falling down a little ways. And
sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a fun ride. I can't say anything about the restraints being overly restrictive because obviously that was a problem before. So probably good that they worked on that and made them slightly more restrictive. But I think it's fun. The one thing that I'm concerned with, it might have even been $2, which for a ride that big is a lot of money at Knoebels. There's lots of asterisks and or parentheses in here. I don't know. It's fine, but if you're gonna ride a flat ride at Knoebels, to me it's still ride 1001 knots or ride the Power Surge or the Loop a Plane or something like that first over this. It's definitely a novelty piece though, because this is the only one I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that going for it. When we got on board, Kyle and I, they were I forget exactly how we got into this discussion, but they were all right, we got to wait for these doors to close or something. I was no, I definitely want the door to close. And he's everything's going to be fine. This is the third iteration of it. And the engineers are still right over there. And he points at them. they're standing off to the side being yeah, you're not going to die this time. As okay, well, that's good. Hopefully I don't die or end up spilled out on the midway screaming. Either of those would be bad, but I mean, it's good. But again, it's at Knoebels where everything is good. So I think it's probably going to stand out in the short term just because it has a weird backstory. I don't know how people are going to react to it 5 or 10 years from now versus riding Fandango or the Wipeout or the Power Surge or something of that ilk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion on it. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Alrighty. Anything else on trip reports, or do you guys want to go in the news a little bit more?
I went to Dorney last night and rode Thunderhawk.
Okay.
How is it?
it's been modified, and I'm never going to say it's my favorite coaster or anything like that, because that's crazy, but I do have a lot of sentimental stuff there, because it was my first wood coaster, so, you know, and all that stuff, and worked on it, and all that stuff. So I've always been, like, really big defender of it, you know, like, you know, they gotta do the trim brakes because they shortened up the brake run and, you know, all this stuff. But so Gravity Group was hired to modify the last turn, and it used to have a nice G spike, so it kind of like whip you around the turn, occasionally bumping your buddy's head, which not fun.
Yeah, that's bad. You guys there? Oh, no. Boy. Recording now.
So now it just feels like it's, you know, it's just like all these great RMCs and they're doing crazy things. And now you take this poor old wood coaster and you're just hitting it over the head even more, and just like, can you make it any more neutered? Can you neuter it any more?
Could you make it more like everything else?
Like, Timberwolf is supposed to be good now, is the reports that I heard. So it's like...
Sure, I guess. But I mean, it still is a din, so it had very little airtime. So
yeah, but I mean, you know, they did some things to make it less awful. But, you know, clearly they grasped the idea of making rides less awful.
I know.
So why not do it here?
Like, I know what they were doing. It makes sense, but it just, the coaster enthusiasts in me, God, I'm getting nerdy, is
you are.
Just so sad. So sad. So
I just want the airtime to be like it used to be on those turnarounds.
Oh my God. I would die for just one, before I die, I would just die for one trimless run, just both trims off.
If the trims were off, that ride would be top shelf. No one would ever say bad things about that ride. In fact, I think no one would even say bad things about Dorney.
That's a wild ride. It's a good layout. It's short, but it's good. But it's trimmed so heavily because of problems. So
the problems.
Yeah.
As always. The problems.
Yep.
Joe, what do we have for news to discuss?
So for news, I'm on Screamscape. So someone actually, this was interesting. Carolyn, someone made a mock-up of their upcoming coaster in 2019.
What they think it might look like.
And it looks pretty good. It's got about 7 inversions. It 2 launches. So that was pretty cool. Let's see what else is up for news. I'm just going through everything. There's expansion plans for Hershey Park. Some sort of meeting yesterday that happened.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's been in the works for years.
Yeah.
So
they have a weird system with Hershey Park because, you know, so for those who don't understand the whole Hershey thing, I think I actually posted about this once on Parkscope. I may be completely wrong, but I think I did at one point. So the Hershey company has like 2 entities, and 50% of all the money that goes from you buying a Hershey bar goes to like the Hershey Corporation that actually makes the candy bar, and then the other 50% goes to this nonprofit organization that runs a school for like poor kids that spends, I think, $117,000 per student. And like, they're kind of at the point financially where they could basically just like fund every poor student in America, but they don't for whatever reason. It's a long, tough thing to explain. So Hershey Park has to answer, I believe, to the board of the nonprofit. And I could be wrong. It could be the for-profit entity, but the for-profit entity or the nonprofit, they're both pretty conservative in terms of how they do things. So Hershey never gets really huge expansions for that reason. Like, they could have a water park that's separate from the theme park and not in the dead center of it. And they probably would make tons of money if they did that, but they didn't do that because that was not the conservative route. So that's just the way Hershey does things. So if they have an expansion, great. because they need room. They're like boxed in at this point. They've basically been building on top of themselves for years. And, you know, you look at Sky Rush and Great Bear and Comet and all that. I mean, they're just built one on top of another. So they need more room, long story short. And hopefully that's what they get.
Yeah. Another bit of news. It seems like Volcano the Blast Coaster is going to be down for quite a while. No idea what's going on with it, but it may be... I still think it's like one of those we're waiting on a part kind of things that they always seem to have with Volcano every 5 years. But they've already confirmed to Ace that they're not going to be operating it June 19th or 20th for CoasterCon. So, what a surprise.
Wonder that's how, like Accelerator last year being down for 9 months or whatever. So
yeah, I wonder why. Like, I just always wonder, like, what are they going to do with Volcano? Like, they have to do something with that eventually, right? Like, they're going to have to, like, I mean, I just can't see them operating this thing much longer with how much downtime there's been. Or am I crazy?
It hasn't been that bad, but I don't know. Sometimes if a major component goes down, the lead time can be a few months. I mean, if it's one part that's like unique to the ride, Intamin doesn't keep it on the shelf because that's inventory that they're not going to hold. So if the part needs to be made, the lead time can be 2-3 months. So
yeah, I understand, but still, it's like it feels like Volcano goes down too frequently. So
it's most Intamins. So
yeah. Next up, Steel Vengeance went down and reopened, and now they're back to two-train operation.
Yay!
Yay, although... Yay. But now it has Fastlane Plus. Boo!
Boo.
But who knows? Who knows what's going on with the third train? Because I just... Who knows? I don't think I've ever seen Blackjack run, so take that for what it's worth.
One day we'll have three trains on that ride. And hopefully they don't end up... Hopefully they don't have to run the block brake like to a dead stop.
That'd be wonderful.
Trimming though, currently.
Not when I was on it, but okay.
You rode it with two trains or one train?
I rode it with one train last. So
yeah, as soon as they did all their reprogramming to make sure it didn't bump, I hear that the trim was activated. It's not much; it doesn't do much, but it is touching the train.
Okay, weird. Let's see.
But now you can brag about your trimless rides, Joe. That's the plus.
Yay. I could be a real snob now.
Now, talking about other bumps, T3 at Kentucky Kingdom bumped trains.
Yes.
So that is it has reopened with one train.
So. Yeah, I that sounds miserable to wait for one train on T3.
Anything about that ride is miserable. Don't even, I mean, you have the credit, like.
So my wife did not have the credit. We went to Kentucky Kingdom like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to ride it, and it has the new train. So I was like, well, maybe this won't be so bad. And the new trains, like they have straps for the over the shoulder, which is, you know, it's okay. But the actual lap bar is like, I think the way that she put it is like it's like getting a mammogram on your thighs.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing between your legs to keep. If you're in the front, the first I rode it twice. I gave it a second try last year. I don't know why. I was expecting a different result, and guess what? I rode in the front seat the first time, and there's nothing between your legs like every single inverted coaster you've ever been on. Because, you know, it makes you feel like you're not going to fall out. And so I start, like, my butt starts scooching forward as we're, like, you know, waiting for the rest of the train to go over the lift hill. I'm like, oh, my God, this is freaking me out. And then, so I'm scooting forward. Then we hit the bottom of the drop, and then the lap bar, like just goes right down on my stomach, like, as hard as can be.
Oh, God. Oh.
And I couldn't even scoot myself back. It was down so tight. These things are the worst things ever invented. Like, they make me mad even thinking about them.
they're
actually not new trains completely, Alan. They're the old chassis. It's just the parts down from the new chassis were done by comeback coasters. Yeah.
Okay, please tell me that they have the Vekoma strap coaster things on Great Nor'easter now. Please tell me.
No, yeah. But they're full Vekoma trains, not.
Yeah, not, but that's.
Yeah,
but that's better than this.
I never talked about that trip, but I rode the Riddler's Revenge at Six Flags Newland, formerly Mind Eraser,
and yeah.
I freaking love it. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. I think I rode it 10 times in 2 days because it's like the SLC layout is not bad. It's just usually like getting your ass kicked. So it's like, so when you ride one that's good, like, I want to ride it. And
yeah, like, I actually liked Great Nor'easter when they changed the trains over, and I'm sure I probably even like it more now that they've got all new track.
Somehow I felt like that one was even better than Great Nor'easter, and I don't know.
Really?
They're both very good, though, definitely. So.
Yeah, the new Vekoma rolling stock, or, you know, at least the new restraints and whatnot, like, I've heard really good things about Six Flags Over Georgia's old Ninja.
That's, ever since. I know this is crazy, but it's like my favorite coaster in the park. I love Blue Hawk. I freaking love Blue Hawk. I know. I know Mindbender, Goliath, I know. But it is so good. And the head choppers on that thing freak me out so much, because you're diving through this curve and you just see this little teeny tiny little hole that you got to fit your head through. And I'm just like, if I put my hands up, they would be gone. Like, I'm convinced that if I had my hands up, they would just be hanging on the support.
The one that's at St. Louis, isn't that Kamikaze from Hunt's Pier? Like, that needs those tricks. No,
that's the one at, that's Blue Hawk.
Oh, that's Blue Hawk.
Yeah.
What's the one at St. Louis?
That was a arrow that they never completed the project, and Vekoma came in and finished it up.
Oh, okay. All right.
I believe that was original was kind of to that weird. Park, or it could have been moved.
I thought it was moved. Well, I could be wrong.
Wasn't it from, case, like, Expo something something?
That's what I was thinking. Like, it was from Expo, wouldn't have been 86, I don't think, from Vancouver.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, please look it up. Help me here. I need to know. This is important. What else do we have, Joe, for news?
For you, Alan, guess what they're opening up at the island at Pigeon Forge?
Expo 86.
No.
Expo 86, I was banned.
No, they're opening up an SBF Visa coaster. Woo, spinning.
Yes. Can't wait. I'm going to get so many credits in Pigeon Forge next time I'm there. And it looks like they're building another mountain coaster over by Dollywood. So.
Yeah, Anakisha or something, however you pronounce that.
No, there's another one.
A seventh one?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so you know how there's that strip mall? I don't know if you've ever been to that old abandoned strip mall that they started to tear down. It's on whatever that street is that you can kind of take on the back way to get to Dollywood. So they started clearing out a mountain, and then there's a whole bunch of supports and track that have shown up. And I remember hearing that Rowdy Bear was opening a second location on the Pigeon Forge strip there on 441.
Nice.
So all the more mountain coasters. I'm all for it. I'll take all the credits.
Yep. One thing that we... Oops. Sorry, Alan.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to go into something real big, so you first.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, the one big news that happened since we recorded last was the huge Europa Park fire.
Yeah, that did happen, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened the day we were at Knoebels.
Yeah. Well, I've been on Pirates in Batavia. Mm-hmm. I obviously can't ride it anymore because it's gone. I don't know what to even say about it. It sucks. I think the one thing I'll say about, you know, that fire is, you know, some people are comparing it to the idea of like Pirates of the Caribbean burning down at Magic Kingdom or something. I wouldn't say it's quite that. Not that Pirates in Batavia is necessarily a total afterthought, but it's not as important a ride or as symbolic a ride for the park as mm-hmm. that, but it was a big dark ride and it was a cool dark ride. I mean, the amount of stuff that they lost is huge.
Yeah,
it's going to take them a while to recover. I mean, a lot of damaged buildings. I guess it was a fire that started, from what I understand, over at the Rapids ride is what I read. I think actually today or yesterday.
And, interesting.
and it just kind of spread out of control.
There was a video of someone who took a video from the observation tower, and you see it going out of frame, and you see some smoke, and then it does a 360, and as by the time it rotates one 360 on that on the observation tower, the whole building is in fire and flames. It took that shorter time to go up in fire.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
And with the location of Europa Park where it is, it's not totally in rural Germany, but it's pretty far out there. It took a while for fire trucks to show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously everybody's glad that nobody got hurt, but that's a big time park. That's a lot of stuff that they lost. I'm happy because if a park is going to get that much damage done to it, at least it's a park that already has its own fabrication facilities next door. You know, there's not a lot of parks that would be able to respond and rebuild more quickly than Europa. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that Europa will come up with something fantastic to fill the space that was lost. This is the second big fire in a European theme park that I can recall. Because there was a Fantasia Land fire in 2001, which took out like a third of the park. And, you know, unless you were around back then, like I was, who was excited to go to Fantasia Land with Ace in 2002, only to have that cruelly snatched away. You know, you may not remember that, but there was a huge Schwarzkopf coaster that was built in this, like, I think it was like a Roman style section that went up with the rest of it. And, you know, Fantasia Land has responded and rebuilt. Fires are not what they used to be back in the 20s and 30s in the industry, or you know, even in my lifetime with like Whalum's dance hall burned down, for instance, or the Idora Park Wildcat. But yeah, I think if it's going to happen, you don't want anyone to get hurt or die. And, you know, you want it almost to happen like at a big park like this where they can actually respond and rebuild. So I guess that's my take on it. It's sad, but they'll respond. And, you know, they've built some really cool stuff in the last few years. And I'm sure they'll build something really cool in that space.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Alex, any thoughts?
I mean, I'm sad to say I didn't even know that existed. But, well, Alan's been there, so he knows everything.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think they'll respond quickly. Like, was there anything even announced for next year? Isn't the water park next year?
They had been talking about doing some stuff for next year, but I don't know that anything had been hard announced yet. I'm sure whatever's going to be going into that space isn't going to go until 2020 or 2021.
Yeah, but I think they'll respond big.
Yeah, they're going to come with something really serious and really huge. And, you know, as cool as the stuff, the Scandinavian stuff that they lost and whatnot was, I think what they're going to end up with on the other end of this is going to be, you know, pretty mind-blowing. Knowing
and it'll set itself apart from what it was anyways. It was a knockoff of a Disney ride.
Yeah, exactly. And they've really moved away from that. I mean, you go on Arthur, or you see video of Arthur, and it doesn't look anything like a Disney ride, you know? Mm-hmm. And they've built really, you know, Wotan is not a Disney ride. So to continue going in that direction, I think, you know, especially, you know, what they did with Euromir this year, or not Euromir, Eurosat, the changeover, you know, I think that is... You know, in some ways, like you said, it may end up being a positive because we may get to see something way more creative out of those guys than just a Pirates of the Caribbean knockoff that seemed weird because since when were there ever pirates in Germany? Like, honestly, like Bavaria is not even near the water. It's in the middle of the country, like in the rivers. Come on, guys. Like, you could have tried a little harder, you know, and maybe put it in, I don't know, Amsterdam or made it about Vikings. But no, you didn't do that. You went with the most ridiculous possible premise. So,
and everything amazing that they build, eventually it's like new ride tech that then gets to spread around the world. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whatever's going to go in there, you know, you can expect it to be everywhere within a couple of years. So I'm actually on some level excited about it being
like, yes, let it burn.
I wasn't quite like that level.
The roof is on fire.
But when people were like we lost parts in Batavia, this is terrible, and I'm like, yeah.
What is that? I was like, what is that? I need to watch a video.
I was like, I guess. You know,
it's sad for them to lose something like that. I mean, in the most
it's a huge
thing, as you said, is no one got hurt.
So, that's the important part. That's the really important part.
So, exactly. Yeah, that could have been real bad.
Yeah.
That could have been a million times worse.
Yeah, especially with the capacity that ride can have on at one time. So.
Yep, yep. All right.
Anything else?
Some small bits and pieces. Kennywood. Bunch of footers are showing up around the park for, well, not exactly sure what it's going to be yet, but it seems like it's going to be their next steel coaster project that's replacing the log flume. So,
cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. World of Color at California Adventure is like broken, like broke.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a small problem. The they have a platform that lowers and raises the whole entire structure, so they could, you know, in typical Disney fashion, instead of, you know, like removing a little bit of the water from the whole entire lagoon,
like Universal,
they just built a massive, three sectioned, like floating platform that can be at three different levels. Well, it turns out, like the middle of one of like the levels just crashed and like is sunk now, so they're trying to fix it. So there you go on that one.
Well, good luck to them getting that fixed before Pixar Pier is supposed to open in a month or two.
Yeah.
In a month or two, dude, it's like the 26th, isn't it? Or the 18th?
Yeah, they're hauling ass on that. God, yeah.
I can't even believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, that thing's still a thing.
Well, I mean, there's not like they're doing that much. I mean, it's what, some LED lights?
I saw a video from this past weekend, and like they're still got a little ways to go. They're probably going to be working every single minute of the day to finish that up on time.
So. Yeah, and that looks like about it for news.
Yeah, yeah, let's not talk about Pixar sure. Pier, because I don't have the energy to do that.
Yeah, no one does.
It would be worth our time, I'm sure. How could it not? So anyway,
Custer.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Shall we peace out?
Yeah, to end on an incredibly depressing note.
Something happy.
It's okay, because Pirates of Batavia is gone. See you later.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Bad. Europa Park, please don't be offended.
I like something it. Happy. Gale Force reopened. There we go. That's happy.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yay.
Is it good now?
I don't know.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
I think we could ride it tomorrow, but nah.
Yeah.
Oh, poor SNS. Wait, this is supposed to be positive. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's great. It's back open. It's wonderful.
There we go.
Filers are fun.
Third
anyway,
times the ticket.
Something.
Okay, everyone. We'll talk to you later. See ya. Peace. Et cetera, whatever.
7 there we go. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm tired. I'm pooped. It's been a long day. I don't know what else to say.
The end.
I don't know why. I was just exhausted. I took like a 45-minute nap there. That was weird. Half-hour nap.
Don't go in the shed.
Yeah, don't go in the shed.
That's all we know.
Also joining us is Andrew. Andrew, say hi.
What's up, everyone?
So,
you didn't say welcome.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Well, I'm going to probably put this on another end of another episode. So we're good to go.
Okay.
So, Kings Island.
Kings Island happened, yes.
What are your thoughts, El Jefe?
I have new rides from Kings Island that I have not done yet. Namely, Mystic Timbers and Banshee.
Yes, sir.
Was there anything else? No. After Diamondback opened?
No.
I did Diamondback. Anyway, Banshee was great. probably my favorite inverted coaster now, I'd say.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And Misty Timbers was great. Although I did like, I like Banshee and I like Diamondback better. And I told Joe after my first experience that I was probably spoiled by Verbolten, because they have actual, like, queue areas where they have themed rooms with TVs and stuff like that, rather than just, like, the random security camera footage. And then the shed was interesting, I guess, but very, very anticlimactic.
Better at night.
It was very, very sort of Adventure Express, where the most interesting part of the ride happens to be at the end, and then nothing happens.
Yep.
So interesting, yes. The ride was good. Really solid GCI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are my thoughts on the new stuff.
What are your thoughts on the old stuff?
Everything's about as I remember, except, you know, one other thing is Kings Island seems to have more than the other Cedar Fair parks. They seem to want to theme their stuff a little bit better, like Banshee and Mystic Timbers and all that. Like, Mystic Timbers, obviously more themed than Twisted Timbers. And Banshee had a themed load area. They had the audio scream at the height of the lift hill. And even, like, Diamondback has that splashdown at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So at least Kings Island, more than the other parks, seem to want to do, like, more unique stuff to keep it different, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrew, it's your first time at Kings Island, right?
Yeah, first time.
So what'd you think as we go over these bumps on 71 going north?
Yes, well, overall very impressed. I'd definitely come back in a heartbeat. Like Jeff said, I mean, Banshee, Diamondback, and Mystic Timbers, those were my top three for sure. But, I mean, we did so much in a matter of a couple hours, so.
Yeah, we hit we hit Mystic Timbers twice, we hit Diamondback, we hit
Banshee twice,
we hit Backlot Stunt Coaster, we hit the Firehawk, we hit Flight of Fear, and the Bat, all within quick succession.
All within like 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Pretty good. We nailed it.
Yeah, and I felt like, and after that, it was just kind of, you know, everything was coasting after that. We grabbed a beer, we got some food. We went to that new barbecue place, the Coney Barbecue.
Which is solid.
Which is pretty darn good. I wish they had ribs. Unfortunately, it looked like they had kielbasa, but I don't know if that was freshly made there. It didn't look like it.
Yeah. Well, they had, their special was the Monterey Inn pulled pork. And it's like, if you have Monterey Inn pulled pork, why don't you have Monterey Inn ribs? Because Monterey Inn ribs.
Yeah, exactly.
Monterey Inn is known for.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not have that?
So, that's always kind of weird, but maybe they were out, maybe they were working on it, I don't know. They said that they had that, they had chicken, they had sausage, they had, they had something else, but I forget what it was. It was like beef tips, no, it was beef tips, it was something else weird.
Like brisket or something.
Yeah. So then for sides, they had mac and cheese, they had fries, they had beans, they were offering free hush puppies, which were nice. Mm-hmm. Because no one wanted to get, like, a side of Hush Puppies for, like, a side.
Right, for, like, $4.99.
No one gets Hush Puppies as sides. Like,
yeah.
That's like, a thing you get. Not, like, the only thing you get.
Right.
So, that was delicious. We drank at the Beer Garden, which was always good. Near the, whatever that, the Swinging Ship is.
Viking Fury.
Excuse me. Oh, so sleepy. And that's about it. It was a hot day. I think that's the big thing for me, was like that. We were in the sun all day. We had that barbecue. I've been drinking a lot of water. All that jazz. So I think that all just kind of hit me after I sat down in the AC. And I'm immediately like, Joe needs a sleep. Joe needs a nap.
Also, Kings Island should be commended for leaving the Flight of Fear queue area as is.
And upgrading it, even.
Shame on you, King's Dominion, for closing that queue area and the pre-show video.
Although they did upgrade it at King's Island, even. So they put them on flat screen, so...
Yeah.
I think that's been there like that for a while now, but we should just throw that in there, too. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Firehawk still's garbage. Hate that ride. Whatever the hell they call Face Off now, still pretty
bad. I don't even know what they call Face Off. But those two are experiences.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Andrew, what'd you think of the Beast? This is your first ride on the Beast.
I was just thinking about the Beast, man. It kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Worth it, though. I mean, the helix on that thing, Jesus. You're not going to find that anywhere else.
Yeah, so, and we sat on it, excuse me.
I wish we could do it at night, though.
Yeah. We sat on the, access seats.
We'll have to come back in, like, November.
Yeah, we'll have to come back in November, mainly, we had to leave early because Andrew has to go to work, and you guys have to drive back to Cleveland, so we don't want to keep you there till like 10 p.m., and then you get back at like 2 a.m.
Well, that's the thing, it's like the sun doesn't go down until 9,
right?
Yeah.
So we'd have to stay until 10 to go on the Beast at night, or any of them at night.
Yeah.
Mystic Timbers.
Banshee's good at
Banshee,
night.
Yeah.
Mystic Timbers is not quite as good at night because you have to have those floodlights for the River Raft ride.
Oh.
That kind of ruins it. Banshee's fantastic at night. Diamondback's good at night.
But we still have our passes.
Yeah, we still have our passes. I'm gonna use them. I think I have like two Cedar Point trips planned. I may head up to Cedar Point one day randomly this week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. I'll drop you a line if I do.
Okay, yeah. With you.
Yeah. And then trying to think what else. And then so we got all that. Man, I'm just zonked out. Been busy. How'd you like Who Farted last night?
Oh yeah, that was good stuff.
That was good stuff.
I enjoy any of the bar / restaurants that's like super weird.
Yeah.
So
it leans right into it. Mm-hmm. That was delicious. Andrew got the hanger steak. You got the dad bod cheeseburger. I got the fish and chips with salmon hush puppies, which is definitely an experience.
The salmon hush puppies
are good.
Those were good.
And we also got the Bayou Bites, the fried alligator, mm-hmm. for an appetizer, and those were awesome.
With aioli sauce.
Yeah, with aioli. Yes. And some pickle veggies on top. That was real good. What else? We went to Grass Skirt, too, where we got a tiki drink. You got some bread pudding. We had a good time. We went to Magic Mountain in Columbus, Ohio.
Right?
not Six Flags. And we did some putt-putt.
Yeah, I was very surprised that Magic Mountain has found its way to Ohio.
Yeah.
After seeing so many of them in California.
Yeah. So that was cool. I think it's the only one, like, in the area. They had one of those ball pits where... That remind me of the one from Universal where they have the... shoot the balls.
Yeah, the Woody Woodpecker area or whatever it was.
Yeah.
No, it was Curious George.
Yeah.
Curious George. Yeah.
So that was cool.
And his amazing flying styrofoam balls.
Yeah, and then we did... what else did we do? We did Jenny's Ice Cream last night.
Yeah.
Columbus favorite, which I find way better than Grater's, and I think offers more unique flavors. There's some good stuff there. Just good all around. I don't know what else to say. It's good.
And thank you for breakfast this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. I cook well. I made you guys bacon, eggs, and toast. My dad bought cinnamon rolls for you guys, too.
Yes.
I prefer my eggs that way. I don't like them when they're like individual boulders. I like them when they're firm, but they're kind of, you know, all together. I like that. And then I add about like a pound of cheese.
Yeah.
Yay, cheesy eggs.
No.
But yeah, so that's that. Anything else you want to talk about, Jeff? Annual pass changes at Disneyland?
Well, we don't know what those are yet, though.
Okay.
It just said that deluxe. They're gonna split blockout days for deluxe into two different parks. That's all it said. There's gonna be like two different calendars.
Yeah.
So one for each part. But they've already kind of already had that. Like, there have been days where, I don't think recently, but years ago, they used to have, you know, California Adventure would be blocked out, or Disneyland would be blocked out, but California Adventure wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think they stopped doing that, like, a year after Cars Land opened.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. Is that it? Anything else? Andrew, the final thoughts?
Final thoughts, well, it was a good day, and definitely be back.
Yeah, we did more than our Cedar Point day, for sure.
Just a few more things. No power outage helps, but
transfer track worked everywhere. Oh, one ride we forgot to mention because it's a piece of garbage, Vortex.
Ah, Vortex.
Vortex.
Yes.
God, that ride.
Aero roller coasters do not age well.
Yeah, that did not age well. Like, I could handle Firehawk more if they had better restraints, but they don't. I felt like Vortex and whatever they turned Face Off into, those just are not pleasant rides to ride. End of discussion. I don't know what else to say. Also, shout out to the chick running the mic in the Bat.
Oh, the Bat, yeah.
Constantly
making Top Gun references.
Yeah, and putting slights on over Banshee.
Right. Especially what year did Banshee open? 2015, 14?
Yeah, 2015.
2015. Yeah. I don't know if you caught it, but she said we were officially better than Banshee from 1993 to 2015.
Yeah. So she was throwing shade.
Right.
Mystic Timber people were goofing around quite a bit too in the morning, which is good. It was overall was pretty good. I mean, Kings Island's a solid park. Of issues of note in the park, there's just a lot. They need to add more trees, I think. Especially coming back from King's Dominion.
Yeah, there's a lot more like plaza areas than King's Dominion has. Like King's Dominion has a lot of transition, forested green areas that King's Island doesn't have.
Yeah, and that's something that's definitely missing that I think that they need to add, because I mean they added the backlot stunt coaster right where they had a giant like green area with the old timey cars.
Mm-hmm.
So they should bring back old timey cars, add some more trees, planted areas.
Yeah, the antique cars. Yeah.
Yeah, antique cars.
Right next to that, the topiary clock.
Yeah, I mean they need to bring back that too. But it's just a lot of stuff like that they need to work on. They need to, and then they also like they just like taking over shit and turning it into their haunted house locations.
Like the Son of Beast loading area, which we will designate as the new shed.
Yeah, but there's also, like, why are they keeping Tomb Raider the Ride around when it's just for Haunt? Couldn't you tear that down and put something else there if you're not going to use it or you're giving up on it?
A super Haunt.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, actually do some stuff and make some decisions and, you know, pull some triggers on things.
Just do your thing, man. Just live your life.
Also, like, why do they have, like, they still have the 3D theater that they've turned into, like, a Haunt. What the heck?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
That's Cedar Fair.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, like...
You can't expect them to know what to do with themed rides.
Yeah, it's really weird, and they need to work on that. They need to... Same thing at King's Dominion. Why are they just ignoring their 3D theaters?
Yeah, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
In simulator theater.
So there's that. Barbecue place is good. They need to plant some more trees. They need to add more greenery. They need to make some better transitions. otherwise, everything's pretty good at the park right now, I'd say.
More indoor stuff.
Indoor stuff. Oh, yeah, more indoor stuff. And that's what was nice about Tomb Raider, is that it was totally indoors.
It was indoors, yep.
Which is nice. I would like to see them bring back that restaurant on the second story of their main gate.
Yes, that was very nice.
That would be a cool thing for them to go like, hey, we're taking a break in, 2019 or whatever, and we're going to add this massive, we're going to rebuild the restaurant, we're going to use our brand new chef that we hired on for the barbecue place, that new guy,
mm-hmm.
And he's going to create a brand new menu.
Yay.
And you know what you could also do with it? Then you could say, hey, and then... we'll sell a dinner package for fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you could do dinner there, clear out the place, then do a dinner package, like, say, at, like, 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. have a fixed menu, mm-hmm. you know, everyone gets their appetizer, everyone gets their entree, dessert served right before fireworks, and then you get the fireworks show, and it's a nice, you know, $45-$50 a person.
If it was Disney, it would be like $400-$500.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you're looking at a Kings Island crowd.
Yeah.
So then you'd have that, and then you could probably do whatever you wanted to do, upgrades to the fountain that they were going to plan on doing originally, but they didn't do.
What kind of upgrades?
What they did to King's Dominion. So they would upgrade the fountain system. They'd add LED lights. They would probably do that stuff. And then, you know, upgrade the show lighting and do all that cool stuff. So I think that's what they can do. And plus, hey, if you have a nice indoor dinner area, you can keep that open during Winterfest.
If it's indoors, yeah.
Yeah. And if you build another indoor attraction, you can keep it open during Winterfest. Mm-hmm. So that's my Winterfest suggestions. That, and also Flight of Cheer.
Yes. Holiday Limits, Flight yeah. of Cheer.
Holiday Limits. yeah. So there's that. I mean, they need another indoor ride. I think right now most of these parks need one more indoor ride. Because I feel like they got rid of a ton of them.
They just didn't have to get rid of the ones they already had.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, yeah, that was just irresponsible.
Yeah, and that also applies...
If Legoland can build a trackless dark ride, I think you can build a rinky-dink boat ride or something like that indoors.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. So, and plus, I mean, it's not like you're in, you know, King's Dominion. You're not in Virginia where, if you do a Winterfest, it's a balmy 50 out. You do Winterfest here, and you come back to your car, and it's covered in snow, like 4 inches of snow.
Right.
So,
That's why you have to get preferred parking, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Preferred parking, you magically don't get snow on your car.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Don't ask us how we do that. It's like fast lane for parking.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. Boo Blasters on Boo Hill.
Oh, God.
That ride's busted.
What a disaster.
I enjoyed the one at King's Dominion a lot. This one needs a lot of help. Guns that don't work. Ride was going up and down constantly. They need to go in there, and Sally needs to spit polish that thing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Just King's Island needs to hand them a bunch of money and say, fix it.
Yep.
And upgrade it, and then make it better, and then it would be better.
Yes.
Yes,
when you say make it better, it will be better.
Yes, exactly.
Do that. Make this better.
Make it better. But Boo Blast is good because it's an indoor attraction. You can have at night, have during Winterfest, have when it rains. We didn't see any of the shows, really. It looks like they still do the country music show in the Fest House, which beats me. Okay.
They have that stage in front of the Eiffel Tower still.
Yeah.
In front of the fountains.
Which they were using.
They still have that, so when we went up in the tower,
uh-huh.
we saw they still have that, I don't know what they have there now, but the Dolphin Show Amphitheater.
Yeah, that's a dog show.
The dog show. Mm-hmm. We saw the Timberwolf Amphitheater.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yep.
So it looks like it's still there in all its timber glory.
I think they still use that for every once in a while. And then they on the left-hand side of the park, there's that giant show place kind of theater that I think they use for various shows and events. So
it's like we make these suggestions, and then we see during Winterfest, it's like Snoopy's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yeah.
Snoopy's Very Merry Christmas Parade.
Yeah.
Snoopy's Very Merry. It's like, wait a minute.
Flight of Cheer. Trying to think what else, really, is going on. I guess that was kind of it for King's Island. Any other thoughts, Jeff? Since we're kind of on an improvement.
I just wish I could see the whole Flight of Fear pre-show is all.
Yeah. It's corny, but it's good.
It's terrible, but so funny. Because it's terrible.
It's really good.
Andrew, any other comments about any of the other rides that we haven't mentioned?
Or anything that you would improve?
Did you mention X-Flight?
We mentioned X-Flight, yeah.
Alright, yeah. That ride just scared the crap out of me. Actually, I think I felt like I was going to fall out.
Yeah.
Very interesting, though. I've never been on a ride like that, so...
Yeah.
Good to do. But
the B&M ones are way better because they're more comfortable. Yes. they use the same restraints that you have for Banshee, plus the leg restraints and some of the other stuff. So it actually feels comfortable and nice and not horrific.
God, yeah. The speed limit's 55.
Yeah, go figure, people. Anyways, so I guess that's about it then.
What about, I want to hear, Andrew, Flight of Fear. Your opinion on that.
Oh, I'm trying to think of Flight of Fear. Is that the one modeled after Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah, that's like the Rock and Roller Coaster like one.
Or they modeled Rock and Roller Coaster after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoyed it. They don't give you much warning when you take off.
Yeah, no. It's like,
all right, go and go.
Yeah. Yeah, I prefer Rock and Roller Coaster overall. Yeah. It's a smoother experience. It's a less... That one was definitely jittery. It was just like... yeah. That's Flight of Fear. Racer was running well.
Racer was running well. That was nice to see.
To see Racer and...
Well, Racer's the oldest ride in the park.
Yeah.
Good to see that one.
To see Racer and...
Keeping up.
And whatever they turned Rebel Yell into, whatever they call it now, I forget. Something, Spirit of 76
Spirit
or whatever.
Spirit of 72,
75.
75, I think, yeah.
75. Racer 75, I want to say, or something like that. I forget.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The Racer Spirit of 75.
Yeah. That was... They're both running well, so that's great. Miss Timber's good. I mean, I don't know what else to say, really.
Yeah.
All of our brains are fried from all the roller coasters and the heat... And the
Adventure Express. They need to turn those effects back on. Adventure Express. All the mist in all the tunnels. The all the lights.
They need to go to like Garner Holt and say, "Hey, here's a bunch of money. Go fix this. Mm-hmm. We want to go 71 North." So we already talked about what they need to add. I mean. Even more so than Cedar Point, they need to add something indoors because, man, they need it for Winterfest.
Well, you need it. You need it for hot days. You need it for rainy days. You need it for cold days.
Yeah.
Which, like, how many days do not include one of those three things?
Yeah. Water park was jammed today too. Mm-hmm. Talking about a hot day. Trying to think what else. So, rumored next coaster, Jeff.
Okay.
Is a Giga.
Where is it going?
Reportedly, it's going to go, like, along the length of the park, basically. So it may go somewhere out by where Windseeker is, or it may go closer to Banshee. I'm not sure. But I think it's going to go that way.
Who's making it?
I don't know. So...
Hopefully it doesn't end up like Intimidator.
Well, I mean, as long as it doesn't end up like Intimidator 305, I think we're good. Like, even if Intamin makes it, just make it like Millennium Force. Yeah. Don't make it like Intimidator. So, I mean, that's kind of my general feelings on Kings Island right now.
I would say make it like Fury. Or Millennium Force.
Either of those. I'm saying if Intamin's involved.
If Intamin does it, yeah.
I just can't see B&M making another coaster at... If B&M makes another coaster, it just seems like... They just added three.
So?
Yeah, fair point.
More. As long as I keep making good ones.
Yeah. So there's King's Island for you. Almost called King's Dominion. Whoopsies. Freudian slip. Alrighty then. We'll talk to you guys later. See ya.